You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the wildest water ride ever. But did you hear Buccaneer Bruce making a bold prediction? You won't want to miss this. Plus, it just gets worse. Deshaun digs in. What does it mean for the Texans and every team that wants them? Houston, you have a problem. And then, by popular demand, we have the video the Cowboys should have made to hype their season and their best player. All that and more as we get up with you on this Thursday, starting right now. Greeting with you from the Seaport in New York. Delighted that you are here, and we have so much to go through and exactly the right team to go through it with. Let's take a look at who's woken up early this morning. Oh, Dominique Foxworth is fired up today. He's got Dak ready to go. Mike T is here to make some deals. Jeff Darlington has the insight, and Damian Woody will be along in a moment as well. And we begin today with the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who celebrated their title yesterday with what can only be described as a crazy parade. Tom Brady completing the dangerous pass, throwing the Lombardi from one boat to another. That's the kind of day it was, and you might have seen some more of the debauchery. Let's listen.
And anybody that says run it back, all right, that's Kansas City's. We're going for two. All right, we're going for two, and we ain't stopping.
They've given us all the resources to keep all you guys together and to keep you next year, and we're going to win this thing again, all right?
All right, so great fun being had there. There's very little question of that. We need to deal in the fun, and then we need to deal in the football. Let's start with the fun. Dominique Foxworth, do you believe this is a team that will be having this celebration again next year? Should we be expecting another waterlogged day for the Lombardi Trophy about 12 months from right now?
Well, I mean, there's no reason why not, because they got better. And I think their road to the Super Bowl this year was probably harder than it's going to be next year. I assume they'll at least get one home game. And there's no reason why there won't be some veterans who are on other teams right now who are chasing Super Bowls that want to come down there. And that looks like a place that you might want to go play. Like, I feel like we're going to win this effing thing again. It's better than no days off chance. Like, I want to play for a guy who's like, let's do this again, not a guy that's like, no days off. So I think they have a good chance to attract some veteran free agents to replace the guys that they lose, because they are going to inevitably lose some guys.
Not only that, but there was not a lot of suntan lotion necessary when they used to have the duck boat parades in New England. No offense intended. Meanwhile, just very quickly, Mike T, I'm just wondering, as a general manager, as I was listening to Jason Light up there, the GM of the Bucks, and he was saying, they've given us all the resources to bring all of you guys back. I wonder what thoughts went through your mind.
Yeah, well, to the victor go the spoils, and to my friend Jason Light, when he sobers up, which looks like is in about 2 or 3 days, boy, those agents, they'll say, when Jason says, hey, we don't have the cap room, they're just going to replay that video from yesterday. So guys like Chris Godwin, Shaq Barrett, even Levante David, boy, did they make a lot of money yesterday. And Governor DeSantis is going to be really happy with Jason Light, because he did a lot yesterday to stimulate the economy down here in Florida, because the cash register is ringing. When he says they have unlimited resources, those players are going to use that for their leverage. And if they're going to bring them back, those players are going to do really well financially.
That's true. But you actually use this term aura of influence, and you just put up the three names there, the three players that sort of came down there to play with Brady this past year. And they wound up being the guys who scored all the touchdowns in the Super Bowl, Fournette and Gronk and Antonio Brown. So, Jeff Darlington, is there a player we should have our eye on who could be the next in that road, taking that road down there to try and play with Tampa Tom?
So I know where you're trying to take me with this. You want me to throw out this name that's on the tip of my tongue. And I'm going to say it, but there is a caveat that comes with it. I'm going to say Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm going to say that because of the relationship between Tom Brady and Odell, fully understanding that this would take a lot to actually make this happen. Keep in mind that Tom Brady did not, before the start of this season, pitch Jason Light on the idea of Odell coming down to Miami, despite the fact that those guys would like to play together at some point. I say this because I could see going into this offseason with Odell being in a situation where it feels like perhaps he's more expendable to the Browns than he was last year, that perhaps Jason Light would take the call. But to all of these points, I'm also told that they really do like where they stand with Chris Godwin, with Mike Evans, with Antonio Brown, if they can bring him back. If something changes, though, that would be the one that I'd be watching, Greeny. I'm very curious to see how Odell looks into this.
A retake of my first question. You asked me if they could win a Super Bowl again, and I said, I don't see why not. If this is anywhere close to true, the answer is yes, yes, 1,000% yes, they will be back in this spot. Because Odell is still one of the most talented players in the league at his position. And in that situation, in that system, I think he is an upgrade over. And I know they have some great receivers down there. A healthy, top-tier Odell is an upgrade at the receiver position and makes this team even scarier than they are right now.
Well, let's get to this. And I want to remind everyone that it was on this show that this man, Jeff Darlington, broke the news that Tom Brady was going to leave New England. And a lot of people made fun of you for saying it at the time, Jeff. They thought you were crazy. Oh, when push comes to shove, he'll never leave New England. And, of course, that's exactly what he did. And there's a history here between these two guys. There is a longstanding relationship between Odell and Brady. And I want to put the quotes up here. Odell, in October of 2019, said this about Tom Brady, quote, 2-3 years ago, there was speculation that was going on, and I was willing and ready to go over there at any point in time. That was always a dream of mine to play for Tom Brady. So this is not something, Jeff, that we are pulling sort of out of thin air. What can you tell us about that relationship?
Well, I mean, look, like I said, these guys have talked for years. And again, it comes down to in the middle of last year or toward the end of this past season, Tom really did feel like he was getting a great chemistry, an expected chemistry with Antonio Brown. So going into this offseason, there might not even be room for another wide receiver. But to Mike Tannenbaum's point, when all these guys start coming to get paid, Chris Godwin looking for, you know, potentially upwards of $20 million annually per year as a wide receiver, does at some point those negotiations cause Jason Light to say, you know, hey, look, this is a guy with a relationship with Tom. Maybe we consider bringing him. I think the point in all of this is that we are now at the point where Tampa Bay is a destination. That was not the case this year or this point last year. Now it is. The relationship exists. I'm not willing to take it off the table at this point.
And look, we're all so impressed with what the Cleveland Browns have done. Ryan Clark yesterday put them in his top five teams that could win next year, and justifiably so. They've gotten a lot of things right. Mike Tannenbaum, they did so much of that the second half of the season after Odell wound up getting hurt. If you're running that franchise, is he expendable at the right price, and what is the price?
Yes, absolutely. To their credit, they have a great foundation. If I'm Andrew Berry, the general manager of the Browns, I'm saying to Jason Light, it's a first-round pick. Because OBJ is only 29, and when he's healthy, he's still one of the most explosive players. Now, if I'm Jason Light on the other end of that conversation, as Jeff alluded to, if I see Chris Godwin's price going up to where 18, 19 million, where I'm not comfortable, maybe I trade the 32nd pick for OBJ. Now I take those resources that I was going to pay Chris Godwin, and now I could keep Lavonte David, more flexibility on Shaq Barrett, in Dominican Sue, it brings a lot more players into play. So it's really a good resource allocation exercise if I'm Tampa Bay. And one other point, as you noted, Greeny, which is Tom Brady went 3-for-3. Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski all scored, all helped them win. If he walks into Bruce Arians and to Jason Light's office and say, hey, I believe in OBJ, even though he had great stature last year, imagine how much more he has because he went 3-for-3 in terms of his recommendations.
All right, so this is one to keep a close eye on. And when it starts to feel like it's happening, remember where you heard it first. Meanwhile, the next order of business, and this one is in the midst of just being a complete mess. You have seen the story by now, of course, of yesterday, the Texans president, Jamie Rutes, resigning from that team. It was announced yesterday as Deshaun Watson, the star quarterback, remains unmoved in his desire to be traded. Here's Adam Schefter.
There are people in that organization, in and around the league, who have questions about the direction of that franchise. Jamie Rutes clearly was one of them. He was a part of the search process that basically blacked him out and discounted and ignored the words of the search firm that the organization paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for, and in the end, went with Nick Caserio. Ultimately, after 20 years with the organization in which he made all their big business decisions, he decided to resign from his post, which I think is a reflection of the way that some people in that organization and some people around the league view that spot right now.
And of course, this is mostly interesting to football fans today because of the impact that it has on the situation with Deshaun Watson, as D-Wood has gotten up with us early today, and we'll get to you in just a second. But Jeff, let me come back to you here, because the name everything keeps coming back to was the name Jack Easterby. Now, most football fans have probably never heard that name and certainly couldn't recognize a picture of his face. But he seems to have become the most important person in that organization and in that regard, maybe in the whole NFL right now. Quickly, who is he and why is this so important?
Well, his rise in the NFL, Greeny, is impressive. Whether you agree with the results of it is certainly a completely different conversation. But, like, this doesn't really happen. Consider the titles that he's held in his career. With the Kansas City Chiefs in 2011, he was the chaplain, the team chaplain. In New England from 2013 to 2018, he was the character coach. I mean, do these sound like titles of people who eventually overcome, become the face of an organization, which Easterby is quickly becoming in Houston? No, this doesn't happen. And what's most curious about it is all the people like Bill O'Brien, Brian Gaines, a former GM, now the president of the organization, they're all being cast aside. Easterby is holding the ranks. So while it's not a normal rise, it certainly, in many ways, is an impressive one.
And it is that, but it's also an important one because it seems to be going so badly. I mean, at minimum, so sideways in Houston that it has Deshaun Watson, Damian Woody, the most important player that franchise has ever had. And I think that's a reasonable thing to say. A 25-year-old superstar quarterback who just signed a huge contract, whatever it is, 8 months ago. He is demanding to be let out of there. So, D. Wood, what do you make of the fact that now we have the team president resigning yesterday?
Well, Greeny, I think it's just indicative of everything that's been going on with this organization for the past couple of years. You know, we've seen all the chatter, whether it's, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, J.J. Watt saying, you know, how he apologized to Deshaun Watson for wasting this year and some of the key personnel that the Houston Texans have let go, from Andre Johnson, who's a guy that you know, everyone knows is pretty quiet to come out and lambast the organization. That doesn't surprise me, but I will say with Deshaun Watson, as far as he's concerned, listen, kudos to him, because if I'm 25 and I'm a superstar with that type of contract, you know, I'm not trying to be saddled down with everything that's going on with that organization. We're in the era of player empowerment right now. We've seen it in the NBA for a long time, and now it seems like it's seeping over into the National Football League, and these guys, they want to take control of their career. So Deshaun Watson sees the writing on the wall, and he's saying, I'm not going to be a part of this where I'm wasting my prime years in an organization that's in free fall.
That's exactly right. And that is sort of a bigger picture look at where we are. And so, Mike Tannenbaum, if you're running the show down there in Houston, how would you imagine this is sitting, and what do they have to be doing?
Yeah, it all starts with Cal McNair. You know, Greeny, Deshaun Watson signed a contract 6 months ago. We're not talking about a year or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And remarkably, in 6 months, it went from a franchise record contract to now he won't even return the owner's calls. That is unacceptable, and it starts with the owner. And he has to ask himself in an honest, sober way, why am I going with Jack Easterby when I have Deshaun Watson, who's one of the 10 best players in our sport? He's young, he's high character, he's a great leader, he's under contract. That's what you want. There are people in this industry that spend decades trying to get Deshaun Watson. You do everything within reason and then some to make sure that he's happy and he's fulfilled. And D. Wood's right. This is about player empowerment, and it starts with ownership. And Cal McNair is the only guy that can fix it. He has to move on from Jack Easterby and make sure that Deshaun Watson is there leading his franchise.
And listen, this is starting to reverberate around the league. I mean, there's almost an air of radioactivity that right now surrounds that franchise. You hear it from other players. I think in free agency it becomes an impact. Something needs to be done there, and obviously the most important piece of it is the franchise quarterback. Okay, moving forward here, because as we go into this offseason, a lot of very significant storylines. Deshaun Watson clearly is one, but there are others. Jeff, what's an offseason storyline worth paying attention to?
Well, I'm very curious, Greeny, to see how it goes with Miami and Tua Tagovailoa. We know that really the only way that Tua would be out in Miami is if this Deshaun Watson trade would eventually materialize. That still feels more unlikely than not at this point. So let's just take that off the table for now. The question is, how do they fill up the roster around him? Do they go and draft a wide receiver at third overall? They've got to support Tua if they want to see him grow.
Now, again, they sit there with that number three pick, and it'll be fascinating to see what they do. Dominique, what's an offseason storyline you're watching?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what happens with this Aaron Rodgers Packers situation. I know, and obviously I don't suspect that he's going to be out of there, but I want to see the decisions that they make and how it leads up to this season, because last year it felt like they were not making the all-in decisions that we saw, that we expected, and that Aaron Rodgers seems to want. So we'll see what happens there.
Yes, if you think that story is over, I think you are mistaken. Meanwhile, D. Wood, what do you have your eye on?
Yeah, Greeny, I've got my own, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and what is life after Big Ben's going to look like? You know, we've seen Big Ben this past year. He's nowhere near what we've been accustomed to seeing from Big Ben. Where is the transition plan? And I think, you know, that's going to have to be addressed this offseason, whether it be via free agency or the draft.
Absolutely. You know what? Let's stop down on that one for a minute here, because I think there are two questions about Ben that are interesting. One of them is, what is the plan for post-Ben life? The other is, when does that begin? Now, Jeff, those two sides are going to meet starting basically now. They got to figure something out. And the outcome could be, we were heard yesterday, the outcome could be that life after Ben begins immediately. What's the situation there?
Well, the question here, of course, is who replaces Ben Roethlisberger, and do they feel comfortable enough in that scenario? Look, we all know what Ben Roethlisberger has meant to the organization. Mike Tomlin has been supportive of Ben throughout the injuries that he's endured the past couple of years, and also now going into this season. By all means, we should still put Roethlisberger as the week one starter, the projected week one starter in 2021. I don't know that anything is going to change that at this point, even though the feeling maybe around the NFL is that Ben feels more done than not. I'm just saying right now, though, to me, it feels like Roethlisberger will be that week one starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So, Neek, look at the film, or as you look at the film, what do you see? What does the film tell us about what is the Steelers' best plan going forward?
Yeah, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger isn't the Ben Roethlisberger of old. He's a smart quarterback. He's a veteran quarterback. He's a quarterback that you can trust to not make absurd decisions, which they've had quarterbacks do that when he was out. So that's something to build on, I guess, but he's not a guy at this point in his career that's going to win games by himself or put the team on his back. It's going to be a team that's led by defense and getting the ball in the hands of their playmakers and hoping that they can make things happen and hoping that Ben does not turn the ball over. So that is something you can have. I mean, that's a model that can work in this league, but that's not a long-term solution. So the Steelers organization has never been one to take a step back. I think you guys know that Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, and prior to that, they had been incredibly competitive. So I don't suspect that they are entering this just hoping with their fingers crossed, but I also don't see an immediate answer.
I think that's right. But look, you made the point last week as we were talking about the Packers. You can't try and win this championship and a whole bunch of later ones at the same time. You have to pick one or the other. And Hembo put that up. I hope everyone really was able to focus on that number that Hembo put up there on our screen. QBR, which measures a quarterback's impact on winning. Ben Roethlisberger was 22nd in that stat this year. Mitchell Trubisky was 21st. Roethlisberger was 22nd for a team that wound up started out their season 11-0. That's an indication of just how good that team is around the quarterback. So, D. Wood, do you think it is in their best interest to try to figure something out besides Ben immediately, like coming season, if they want to win?
Yeah, listen, because I think the championship window with Ben is over. You know, at some point you got to move forward, and no time better than the present. We know the Pittsburgh Steelers have problems. The offensive line has to be addressed. No question about that. But we know that Big Ben best days are clearly behind him. We saw how limited he was as far as passing the football. It really came down to the short passing game. As far as Ben is concerned. So this team needs to make a move now. They can't afford to waste the talent that they have, particularly on the defensive side of the football.
And confirming for those who may be concerned, we went through this last time, D. Wood, we had you on. Your house is not on fire. That smoke that we see rising from behind you is all as well. That just seems to be a vent of some
all
sort.
All is good over here. It's all good.
We're all okay. No one needs to call the fire department. He's okay. Everything is fine at D. Wood's house. Very quickly, Neek, I'll come back to you to finish up this thought. Look at the division. Cincinnati has a dynamic young quarterback. Cleveland has a dynamic young quarterback. Baltimore has a dynamic young quarterback. The Steelers run the risk of getting left behind if they don't figure something out quickly.
Absolutely, but it's not as easy as just saying, like, we're sitting here saying they got to figure it out. They got to find a succession plan. You name it. Like, what is it? Is it Jameis Winston, Dwayne Haskins? Like, all these other quarterbacks that might be coming free, they aren't looking to come there and sit behind Ben Roethlisberger. So I don't know how they do this other than getting a rookie or maybe a guy whose value has declined recently. And that's why I think of Jameis Winston or Haskins. There's nobody else out there that wants to go to Pittsburgh right now.
Well, that's why I'm sort of phrasing the question this way, which is, right, in this game of musical chairs where all these quarterbacks are changing places, it's the Steelers who are deciding, well, we're not going to get one of the really good ones because we're going to go one more year with this. And Damian Woody said, right, it, I don't have to. The window on this is closed. So let's see what they wind up doing in Pittsburgh. It's going to get very interesting. All right, coming up, we have been looking forward to this. It may have been the oversight of the year. How did the Cowboys release a hype video without Dak? Dominique told us exactly what that video should have been, and we did the work. Wait until you see this. Plus, we know what the Eagles want for Carson Wentz. Are they asking for too much? You've got the questions. We've got the answers. Just getting started. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Bolt 24, real advanced hydration from the makers of Gatorade. All right, and we would like to welcome the newest member of the Get Up family, Dominique. Take a look at this. A baby was watching our program yesterday. It just, I think, really works well for our demographics. We're trying to get younger viewers. And this one seemed to love everything we were doing. What do you think, Nate?
Oh, it's very cute. Congratulations. And, I mean, it's better than Sesame Street. You can learn so much. We do math. We do geography. We do comedy. It's a great show for kids of all ages. I love it.
That's right. Yesterday, we taught them D is for Dak. Even if they don't seem to know that with the Cowboys. Thank you to Mom Caroline for tweeting that terrific picture at us. Meanwhile, speaking of D being for Dak, yesterday Dominique showed us exactly what the Cowboys hype video should have been. We have done the work. You will not want to miss the world debut of the new hype video. It's next. Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's our Thursday college basketball doubleheader on ESPN and the app. You got Iowa State squaring off against Kansas. That's at 7 Eastern. And then to the Pac-12 we go for Oregon taking on Arizona State. Good night of hoops tonight here on ESPN. All right, now to the main event. It's a hype video that got all the attention in the world for all the wrong reasons. What you are seeing is a 32-second video that the Dallas Cowboys released as a hype video for next season. And off to the left of it, you can see the names of all of the different players and people that are featured in this video. And to cut to the chase, you will not see the name Dak Prescott because there is no Dak Prescott in this video at all. And when you consider the circumstances of the totality of it, considering his circumstances of his contract and everything else, that omission seemed notable to all of us yesterday, particularly to the president of the Dak Prescott fan club, our own Dominique Foxworth. So yesterday, Neek, you told us exactly here on Get Up what that video should have looked like. We did the honors, and so here it is, the world debut of the new video the Cowboys should have put out.
This is an easy hype video to make. You know what you do? You start with some cleats, and then you pan slowly up, and you just let the beat play. Guess who's Bizax playing in the background? You bring it all the way up, and then you lock it on the silhouette of a man. And then light comes on, and it says, guess who's that? 2021. The only other option of a video is maybe you have Dak throwing the ball and the ball is actually Dak's head to another guy who looks like Dak catching the ball. And then I want the camera to go in on the middle of the field where the star is. No, 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 not a star. It's Dak Prescott's face.
Okay.
I love it.
All right. That is a Ryan Staloff production. Very well done. Dominique, what do you think?
So I want to thank Ryan for doing that. That is fantastic. It is beautiful. And it defines what the Cowboys are. It defines what Dak is. Dak is the lone beacon of hope shooting out of a bed of detritus that is eroded from the desiccated husk of a once proud organization. And all you got now is Dakota Rain Prescott. And you should be grateful.
That's extraordinarily well said. Damian Woody, your reaction to the video and whatever it is Dominique just tried to share.
Hey, Greeny, I got to tell you, man, I was screaming laughing yesterday when y'all were talking about this topic. Man, y'all had me, my wife was like, what the hell is wrong with you right now? Y'all had me screaming, laughing. But I tell you, I still can't wrap my mind around this, Greeny, because here's the thing. In American sports, team sports, there might not be a more prestigious position than the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and you got your guy, Dak Prescott, who we clearly saw is the most important piece to the puzzle, and you just quote-unquote omitted him from the hype video? Hell no, that ain't a mistake. That was done on purpose, and whoever did that, man, they ought to have their head on a platter right now, because how could you forget Dakota Prescott? Come on, man. Y'all got it. Dallas, y'all got to do better than that.
Here's the thing. The legendary quarterback of the Cowboys is in the video, but it's Troy Aikman. They put the quarterback who hasn't played for them in 25 years in the video. I'm surprised they couldn't find Roger Staubach or Craig Morton video to put in there. So, Jeff Darlington, if we can turn this into a serious conversation for a moment, although I actually think this is a serious conversation, but where are we with this now? Because, I mean, Dak continues to have them over a barrel. They continue, from everything I've heard, not to be getting any closer to figuring out a deal. So where does it go from here?
This is literally a serious conversation, because this is where we are, Greeny. I mean, for real. Like, by the way, as an organization, the marketing side comes out and says this was not malicious. There's nothing to see here. You should probably get with the owner and make something up better than that at this point. You know, like say, look, someone messed up on this side of things. This was not, just make something up, because this is a bad look. Now, the only thing I'll say about this, and I haven't heard back from Dak on this yet, but like, it's only a problem if it's a problem for Dak. If Dak feels slighted by this, then it's an issue. If Dak can look past this and say, I don't think that has anything to do with my negotiations, then to me, it's not an issue either. I understand why we're all having a good time with it, but really, this is still about Dak. And if Dak does feel slighted, though, the organization better be doing something to make very clear to him why this oversight happened.
I know there's something they should do. They should have a contract that says Rain Dakota Prescott, has a line for him to sign, has a line that's completely blank with a dollar sign in front of it, and a line that says years that is also blank, and they slide that over to Rain Dakota Prescott, and they say, you fill it in, my friend, you fill it in. Then I guarantee you the hype video won't mean a thing at that point.
I'll say one thing. When they first released that video, Jeff, Tad Prescott, friend of the show, Dak's brother, quote tweeted it with like one of those emojis. So there's no question if he's speaking on behalf of the family has unquestionably noticed. And the second thing that we can say about that is if that isn't an issue, I can tell you, as a longstanding person who's aware of these things and a longstanding proud member of the diva culture, I guarantee you he's upset about it. I guarantee you he's upset about it. There's no quarterback in the NFL who's not upset about that. I promise you that, and we can talk about it further as we go. But I got to get to other business here. Amen. Jeff, let's come to you. Let's go through the rest of the league here on a bunch of other stuff. As we run the hurry up, what can you tell us about Patrick Mahomes after his foot surgery?
Well, the good news for everybody involved here is that Patrick Mahomes had, I guess, successful is what we call it, surgery to repair his turf toe. Now, keep in mind that it's the expectation that off-season activities will mostly be virtual, so I don't anticipate he misses anything official, but certainly will have to take some time to recover, expecting a baby soon, so an off-season where maybe he can focus on those types of things instead. Washington Redskins, by the way, keeping their backup quarterback in Taylor Heinicke in the house. 2-year extension for him. So that's a good sign. This is a guy who came as a kind of a cult hero toward the end of the year with some exciting play on the field. Certainly will just be serving in a backup role in that capacity. He also, by the way, the expectation here is that Alex Smith will be the starter for week one. So that being said, it feels like the Washington football team doing a good job of keeping their group together. Carson Wentz, this is an interesting one that we're all paying attention to. Mid-March is still the deadline here that we need to pay attention to. That is when a roster bonus upward of $10 million will be due to Wentz. That is when ultimately the Eagles will have to make that trade if they're going to do so. I know we all talk about being imminent. Really, we always look for a deadline. The mid-March date is still the deadline that we should be focused on here when it comes to Carson Wentz. Leverage is the key here. Maintaining leverage is everything that the Eagles will be trying to do.
Right. So, but what you are telling us and what Shefty has told us and everyone has said is that it is a foregone conclusion that Wentz is going to get traded out of Philadelphia. We're just dealing in the when, right? It's not they want to do it. He wants it done. Everyone wants it done.
That's right.
It's just a question of when.
Yeah, and an important factor here is we talk about the deadline of being mid-March. So really, you know, the Eagles do have some runway here to work with in terms of getting that trade done. But we should also point to you want to make sure that you keep the leverage. When I say leverage, I mean you want as many teams as interested as possible. So if all of a sudden a team like the Bears or the Colts go and solidify their position elsewhere because they don't feel like it's going to get done with Wentz, then the Eagles might have trouble getting as much as possible for him. So beyond that deadline, to me, the real deadline for the Eagles is getting the deal done while they still have a number of offers on the table to get them as much as possible.
That's a really good and important point. I totally agree. As we bring everybody in, again, Mike Tannenbaum, you were a GM for a number of years with two different franchises. That's kind of the way this game is played, right? You need to make the deal as quickly as possible so you don't lose the leverage, but you don't want to take anything less than you can get. So let's start with this. If you're Ryan Pace and you're the general manager of the Chicago Bears, and you're going to call up Philadelphia, what are you offering? You say, I want Carson Wentz, and I'll give you what?
A first-round pick. And here is why. You have to win this year, and even though there's some risk with Carson Wentz, Greeny, he's a lot more of a stable sort of acquisition, less risky acquisition than any of those quarterbacks in this year's draft for a variety of reasons. And historically, about 40% of the time, quarterbacks taking the first round make the Pro Bowl. So I'm offering a first-round pick, and I'm standing pat.
Oh, that's interesting. That once you get past Trevor Lawrence, there are enough questions about all the other first-round quarterbacks in this draft. So let's reframe the question. If Carson Wentz was in this draft, which, granted, obviously the circumstances are totally different, Mike, would he be the second quarterback off the board after Lawrence?
No question about it. He would go second overall to the New York Jets. He's a guy that's played at a really high level. Obviously, there's a lot of issues right now about his confidence, but there's no question about it. Trevor Lawrence 1 to Jacksonville. Carson Wentz 2 to the New York Jets.
All right, so that is instructive, and that might give you an idea why some of these other teams might also be interested here despite the price tag. Damian Woody, what is your sense of this? You're seeing the way this thing is playing out with Wentz in Philly. What are your thoughts?
Greeny, it's hard to wrap my mind around this whole situation where first of all, the compensation that you're going to have to give up both contractually and draft pick is just mind-boggling for a guy. When was the last time he played really good football? Like, I think people tend to go back to, like, 2017 when he was, you know, he most people would agree he probably would have won the MVP if he had finished the season. And it's really been, you know, he's really been average at best since then. And so it's like everyone has been waiting on Carson Wentz. Everyone believes in the talent. Everyone's been waiting. But we haven't seen Carson Wentz really ball now for a few years. I just think that it's risky at best.
But there's no question, Jeff, to sort of finish it up where we started. There's no question this will happen. The idea that this is not a Deshaun Watson thing where the organization is still hoping that they will be able to bring him back. The Eagles have resigned themselves to trading Carson Wentz. It's just a question of when they do it.
Yeah, Greeny, I mean, think about the fact, by the way, that this was a contract that felt like the Eagles could not unload. Any offer to get Carson Wentz off their books feels like a pretty good offer at this point. So it's not just about cutting him and dealing with the dead cap space. It's about unloading that contract. We saw essentially what the Rams did with Jared Goff. I don't think that they're going to get that much in this situation. But if they can unload the contract, yeah, this is happening.
Now, look, to bring it all full circle, Goff and Wentz and Dak Prescott all went in the same draft. Goff and Wentz were the first two picks. You've seen what's happened with Dak. As we continue here in a moment, coming up, there is huge hype surrounding all the quarterbacks in this draft. Dominique will tell you why a bunch of teams are going to make a bunch of very big mistakes. That's on the way. And no Brady equal big problems for the Pats at quarterback last year. D. Wood and Mike T. both have their solutions for Bill. And you'll hear what they are as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, what a lineup we have coming your way on Saturday night. First of all, we got Carolina, Virginia at 6 Eastern on ESPN. That's great. In the NBA, we got KD, Kyrie, and Harden taking on Steph and the Warriors at 8 Eastern. That's on ABC. And then on ESPN Plus pay-per-view at 10 Eastern, it's the UFC 258 main card. So that is the lineup for Saturday night across the family of networks. Okay, hit it.
Ready or not, tell them here I come.
Look at me, handsome, fast, quick. Doesn't take much for me to, I'm modest, humble, you know. Doesn't take much for me to be confident.
It's the dopest open of any segment that we have, and here he is, Dominique, with his unique perspective. What do you have for us today, sir?
So I would like to advise GMs heading into this draft. And I saw Todd McShay's new list, and it had 4 quarterbacks going in the first 4 picks. And I think that I understand the risk that you want to take to get a quarterback. But don't be fans, GMs, and don't be stupid. Like, do not allow your ego to get in the way and have you convinced that you are going to make the next Patrick Mahomes, because he's not in this draft, because Patrick Mahomes has been in one draft. There was no draft before Patrick Mahomes. There was nobody like Patrick Mahomes after draft. So if you are fearful that you're going to be made fun of like the Bears for passing up on Watson and Mahomes, put that away. Don't do that, and don't let that trick you into making a terrible decision and reaching for one of these quarterbacks. Go with Penei Sewell. All the tackles in the draft from last year, they balled out. Think about Becton, Wirfs. They won the Super Bowl in part because Tristan Wirfs could play tackle at the level that he played. So go ahead and get Penei Sewell, because most of these quarterbacks are going to be bad. It happens every year. We get all hyped up and excited, and we go into the draft. We're like, hey, it's like four franchise quarterbacks in this draft. You know how many franchise quarterbacks are in most drafts? None. So don't do it. The tackle that we saw, Penei Sewell, the things that he did in college are going to work. All the tackles that went last year that had success, none of them are as good as he is. So yeah. Pick him up as soon as you can. If you don't got Trevor Lawrence, get Sewell.
Okay, I love this thought, and I want to bring some other, I want to turn this into a conversation, and Mike Tannenbaum, I wanted you in this as well, because you were a general manager. It feels to me like there were two separate things that you're saying here, Dominique, and one of them is that a lot of times, and Mike, I'm looking right at you as I say this, I believe general managers make these picks out of fear of losing their jobs. Which do you think is the greater fear, taking a quarterback high who doesn't work out, or passing on a quarterback who does? Which is the greater fear that GMs go into these drafts with?
Yeah, taking your quarterback and he doesn't work out. And you really need, and Neek touched on it a little bit, when you look at Todd McShay's mock draft yesterday, it's a referendum of where we are. Everyone's trying to get that quarterback, Greeny, and you're worried that all the work you do and you scour, that's the verb, you scour for a year, and when it doesn't work out, you sit there and you're like, what was wrong with our process? So you're going to be aggressive, you're going to try to move up, and then you're really worried that what did we do wrong if this guy doesn't work out?
I get it. But I guess what I'm asking you is, and look, I mean, in Chicago, they kind of hit both of these, right? They had the daily double. They took the quarterback who didn't work out ahead of the guys who did. But which is the one that gets the general manager fired, Mike Tannenbaum, is what I'm asking you. When you pass on Patrick Mahomes, which is what I think Neek is saying, or when you take someone early and it doesn't work out?
I think it's early and it doesn't work out, because when it doesn't work out, you're not winning games. It doesn't matter how good Patrick Mahomes is. It's about winning games. And if you can't win with Mitch Trubisky, more times than not, it sends you home.
Damian, what do you think? And Dominique is basically saying teams are getting quarterback crazy in the draft. I see the point that he's making. D. Wood, what do you think?
Well, man, it's hard for me to knock a guy who's, you know, glorifying the offensive line, but it's a quarterback-driven league. You know, as much as you talk about, you know, maybe not falling for, you know, falling for these type of guys, but at the end of the day, the game is driven by the quarterback position. And if you don't have one, you're in constant search of one. You're in constant search of a franchise quarterback.
Read it. You see what Hembo put up there? Read that. Take a look at that.
Can Hembo put that back up there again? Because the last times that teams moved up, look at that. The most recent top five quarterbacks teams traded up for, Darnold, Trubisky, Wentz, Goff, RG3, and Sanchez. Count the championships those guys have won. Add them all together, and we all know. Wentz won a championship, or his team won a championship without him. But you know the point that we're making here, Dominique. I think your point is well taken.
Yeah, I mean, this is your job, and I understand that there is fear in doing it, but no one ever does their job well if they do it fearfully. So I think that you need to be brave and confident and select a guy that you think can impact your team, not a guy that you're afraid is going or a guy that you're afraid is going to embarrass you by going and being good elsewhere. Most of these guys are not going to be franchise quarterbacks. That's just the way it is.
Correct. I mean, the percentage on that is at best 50%. Okay, I love it. I love the take, and I love the idea of taking the tackle. Meanwhile, we're going to do offseason bold predictions here. Let's go through what we expect to see happening. I'm going to go 30 seconds on the clock for some bold predictions. And Damian Woody, I'm starting with you. 30 seconds. What is your offseason bold prediction?
Yeah, I think New England Patriots go with Mac Jones, the quarterback from Alabama. Speaking of, you know, college quarterback. Listen, we all know the connection here, the Bill Belichick, Nick Saban connection. He knows the culture. He knows how strenuous, you know, how to play under pressure and playing in the SEC with some of the best teams out there. I think this might be a move long term for Coach Belichick moving forward.
I like that a lot. I think that makes a lot of sense. I pointed this out repeatedly, too. Mac Jones graduated in 2.5 years from college with a 4.0 GPA and has a master's. So that I like the fit of that a lot. Where are we going next? Mike T, give me an offseason bold prediction. 30 seconds on the clock. Go.
Yeah, same team, New England Patriots. We're going to get Deshaun Watson. Nick Cassero just came from the Patriots. They know each other well. If I get Deshaun Watson with all those other opt-outs coming back, I'm going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to go beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And I saw Bill Belichick is a great competitor. He'll do whatever it takes. We get Deshaun Watson. We're back in the Super Bowl. New England, Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl next year in L.A. Talking about a Camp Miss game.
I mean,
I can't go on. I can't be expected to go on. If this is going to happen, I 20 years I'm waiting for Brady to get out of the division, and now all of a sudden you're telling me if Deshaun Watson winds up in New England, I'm telling you right now, I'm done. I don't even know what else to say. I'm just done. All right. I don't even care who's next. Someone else say something. Dominique, right, 30 seconds. Give me a bold prediction. Go.
I mean, it's hard not to react to what Mike T just said, but I'm leaning towards the Matt Ryan move. I think Matt Ryan going out west and rejoining Kyle Shanahan and finishing their unfinished business of the Super Bowl that they should have won, but the Patriots came back and took from them. I think that is something's going to happen. It's very clear that the Falcons are in rebuild mode, it appears, and they have a spot near the top of the draft that most people think they're going to use on a quarterback. So it makes sense to acquire some more draft picks and send Matt Ryan out west to reunite with Kyle Shanahan. But Watson? To the Patriots?
That one does make sense, and the Falcons might take a quarterback. I'm just telling you right now, if Deshaun Watson winds up with the Patriots, Tannenbaum, I'm going to blame you, and that's going to be all there is to it. All right, what do we else have coming up next? Let's talk about anything else, like Buccaneer Bruce and his boss making bold predictions that have everybody here fired up, and the NFL star who could walk the plank towards Tampa. All that and more on the way. Spirited edition of Get Up this morning on ESPN.